Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to the book of Romans, Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6, we'll be looking at verse 6 and 7 in just a moment. If you have your Bibles, hope you'll open up and follow along with us. Today is, I want to speak to you on a subject that I hope will be one of explanation and trying to explain to you, and I hope I can do that in a way that you will understand exactly what it means to be crucified. I know when you think about that, you say, well, I guess you're going to preach about the Lord and His crucifixion. Yes, that definitely is going to be the involvement of it, but our text today comes from a little different of a standpoint. We look at chapters 5 through 7 of Romans chapter number 6. And the Bible said, if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. I don't know if I gave you time to get there or not, but anyway, likeness of His resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Our Father, Lord, we thank You tonight for the opportunity and privilege we have to come together today, and Lord, to open Your Word. And Lord, I pray, I know this is sometimes a controversial subject and people trying to understand exactly what it means. And I pray today that You give me Your anointing power and Your Spirit that I'll be able to present it in a way that we leave here today, we'll know exactly what it means. And Lord, I pray that You would give me the unction, the power, the strength, and the help that I need. And I'll thank You now for what You do and what You're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. We're talking today not so much about the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we are, because that's all a part of it. But basically, the fact of the crucifixion of our old body or our old nature that we have in our life and what happened and how it got crucified and when it got crucified. We see today, and I know over in the Philippines, they're real bad about it. They'll have people come Easter time. You'll see them walking through the streets several days before Easter, and they'll have the whips, and they'll have the glass and the whips, and they'll be beating themselves over the back, feeling as if they have to crucify themselves. I want to say today, and I'll get to it, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I want you to see in just a few minutes that that is not the case. We do not need to crucify ourselves. I will say this, that I believe the book of Proverbs, Solomon said, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. In other words, he's talking about the matter of sin that reigns in our life and in our body. But yet we find when we come to the passage of Scripture that God tells us very plainly as we understand it and see it today, as we come to it, that we see the Bible said that the old man has been put away. We have all experienced, I believe, the horror of sin in our lives. We've never seen its effects. We have all probably seen the effects on people we love. Still, every person here provides sin with a willing and useful partner in our bodies, the old sinful nature. And I know we're going to be dealing with some stuff and talking about the matter of sin and how it is in our life, but yet understanding, the Bible said the old man has been crucified. Jesus Christ, through His love and grace and power, has set us free from the bondage and the influence of sin. Now, I know what you're thinking. You begin to think that, and you say, well, it seems to still be rampant in our day. Well, this verse, I believe, teaches us that when Jesus Christ died, the old man was crucified with Him. In other words, when we got saved, that old nature, that old man had been crucified, and the word crucified means put to death. And what we see is sin should no longer have rule or dominion over our bodies or over our lives. We sometimes hear preachers speak about crucifying the flesh. Friend, we're not here today to crucify the flesh. We understand the flesh is something we deal with and we must deal with in the daily life that we live. However, what we find is the old man has been crucified. In Galatians 2, verse 20, he said, I am crucified. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Could I just draw your attention to that verse a little bit again? He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, Paul here was not trying to crucify the flesh. Paul was recognizing that his old man had already been crucified. And what he was saying is, I've determined that I'm going to live daily a life that is pleasing to God. We remember that he said in the New Testament at one point, he said, I die daily. And what he meant was, he died to sin on a daily basis rather than giving in to the flesh and the flesh that would come against him. The Bible said in Romans 6:11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The truths contained in this passage are very simple, and I believe they're simple enough to understand. I might get a little tongue-tied trying to explain it because when you think about it, it can be very confusing in many ways. But I want to share with you today what it means to be crucified. And again, I'm talking about the Lord being crucified, yes, but I'm talking about the old man. The old man being crucified in our life. First of all, I want you, if you would, to consider this morning the event. The event. In the first part of chapter number 6, in verse number 6, the Bible said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Now, the word old speaks of something that is old, obsolete, inferior. Imagine something that's worn out or useless, which is not fit to place anywhere except maybe in a scrap pile. The old man is like a worn out garment. It's not good enough for daily wear. It's not good enough to be worn to a fancy ball. It's old, obsolete, inferior, useless. It's, again, not worth anything. The old man is in this sad shape because of his sin. The Bible said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. There's nobody that ever lived that could say they were not a sinner. They may say it, but they're not telling the truth, because the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, what we find, the old man there came into this world with a natural tendency towards sin and evil. We talk about what's going on today, shootings, people killing one another. My, I tell you, I'm in total shock as I read the news every day and see what's going on in our society. But we should not be surprised, because the Bible teaches that man by nature is born into sin. That's the old man. It's the old man that is born in every one of us. We are born as sinners with a desire to do evil, although I realize some people maybe do better than others. But the fact of it is, all of us come into this world with an evil way about us. He said in Ephesians 2:1-3, and you hath he quickened who were dead in your trespasses and sin, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We'll talk more about that a little bit later, but the old man, listen to me, the old man died when Jesus died on the cross. The old man died. That's what the Bible says. We find here the old man does not have the power to control you if you're saved this morning and born again by the Spirit of God. Now hang on, I know where you're going with that, and you're saying, well, explain that, and I'm going to try my best too. But I want you to know that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the old man was crucified, and all those who become a child of God, no longer does that old man have power over you to sin. You say, well, don't we still have sin? Of course we do. The word is crucified is in the passive voice, and it says that means this was an action that was performed on the subject of the sentence is talking about the old man. In other words, the old man was acted upon by someone else. We did not crucify ourselves. We were crucified on the cross of Jesus Christ when he died for our sin. The old man was crucified without us taking any active part in the crucifixion. We didn't have nothing to do with it. The old man did not crucify himself. He was crucified according to the Word of God. The old man's death by crucifixion was a passive event. When a person like Jesus was nailed to the cross, they did not crucify themselves. Jesus Christ did not crucify himself. Now, I know today he had all power, but he went to the cross to die for every lost person that wanted to be saved and go to heaven. But friend, he was crucified by the religious crowd of that day, and they hung him on that cross. The executioners nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. The victim of the crucifixion was passive. It was always the work of another. Now, you need to understand that. Crucifixion, according to the Word of God, is not something we can do. It's something that Christ has already done for those of us who are born again now by the Spirit of God. The Bible said in Matthew 27, verse 35, "And they crucified him." It's physically impossible for anybody to crucify themselves. And so we understand that as we read it. We find, "And they crucified him." In the same way, a person was passive in his physical crucifixion. The person that experiences spiritual crucifixion is not able to crucify themselves. It's impossible for us to crucify ourselves physically or spiritually. We cannot crucify ourselves. It's always the work of another. And so we see the event that has taken place here and understand that this has already taken place. The Bible said, listen, 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." When we believe on Jesus, his righteousness is imputed. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. There's nothing we can do to get it or obtain it except trust Christ. But it's imputed to us. In Romans 4, 23 through 25, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification." Now, we cannot crucify ourselves, but our crucifixion has already been accomplished on the cross of Calvary when Jesus died for our sin. And just as much as I'd stand here today and sing the song, "Jesus paid it all to him I owe," I would submit to you today, it's not just a ticket to heaven when he saved us. When he saved us, he saved us. And the Bible said that the old man was crucified with him. So positionally, we were crucified with Jesus over 2,000 years ago, but we're expected to make our crucifixion a daily experience by putting off the old man, all of his sins and appetites. We find in the book of Colossians, chapter number 3, verse 5 through 11, Paul writing again, he said, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all." Now somebody said, "Well, that's kind of confusing. What you're saying is the old man's dead, right?" And that's exactly what I'm saying. But what he's also saying is we still have to contend with the flesh of this body. And I tell you, they war against each other constantly back and forth. And the old man has no power to control our lives unless we give in to the old man and literally, I guess, raise him back and allow him to. But Christ died and crucified the old man where we could live a life and not be a slave to sin. Yet we see many times that being rampant. The crucifixion of Jesus was an amazing event. Not only did he die on the cross, but everybody that will ever be saved and go to heaven died on the cross with him. He said that our old man was crucified on that day. The second thing I want you to consider is consider an effect. We see the event. He died on the cross. He crucified. But notice in verse 6, the latter part, that the body of sin might be destroyed. The word means to render idle, to make useless, to render powerless. According to this verse, the old man, along with his sinful ways, died on the cross when Jesus died. I can't speak for you, but I'm going to stand here today, and I don't say this in any way, boasting way at all. But I tell you, from my standpoint, I believe that the old flesh and the old sinful nature is alive and well. And it don't matter who you are, and you can say what you will, but I'm telling you, I believe, and some may be worse than others in particular areas, but I believe we all battle with this old flesh every day that we live, because the devil is out to do everything he can to destroy us. The old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. The old man was put to death on the cross so we could be free. Every lost person in this world today that is lost, they're servants of sin. I tell you today, if people don't know Jesus Christ, literally they're by nature a slave to sin. You can say what you will, but until they get the forgiveness of Jesus Christ and are washed in the blood, until they become a child of God, their old man is still alive and they become a slave to sin. The old man was put to death on the cross so people that are in Jesus could be free from the power of the flesh. We got the old man, we got the power of the flesh. Jesus said, I died, I crucified the old man, where you could live a life free from the power of the flesh. However, many times we still battle that, and we have to battle it every day that we live. It's a battle of our flesh. It's a vicious battle. Even the Apostle Paul, this is why I said a while ago, anybody that said they don't have problems, listen, obviously you're saying you're better than Paul was, because Paul said in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You so we know how real the battle is, don't we? I think we understand what Paul was saying. We battle. We know what is right. There's a desire within us that reaches out to God. But there's a lust within us that draws us down to sin and evil and leads us in paths that we don't need to go. Paul tells of the solution to winning the battle. And I tell you, we talked about it a little bit Wednesday night. It's learning to walk in the Spirit. The Bible said, be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. He said in Galatians 5:16, this I say, walk in the Spirit. Listen now, this is what Paul said. You must understand and believe that this is the Word of God, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Here's what Paul said. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, to walk in the Spirit means to yield the control of our lives to Him. To walk in the Spirit means to stop living for ourselves. To walk in the Spirit means to stop being controlled by sinful wants and desires. Walking in the Spirit means to stop allowing ourselves to be controlled by our emotions, our anger, our greed, our hate, our unforgiveness, and our love. To walk in the Spirit, we live for the Lord and not for ourselves. To walk in the Spirit means that we must learn to deny ourselves. The Bible said, any man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We know today the importance of walking in the Spirit. It hurts to deny self. Self-denial is not easy, but self-denial is the Lord's command for His children. That we walk in the Spirit, the very thing that will separate us, the fact that the old man is dead, and the thing that can keep the flesh from rising up is being filled and walking in the Spirit of God on a daily basis and dying daily to self in order that Christ may be seen in us. Amen. A Christian who learns to live like he's dead and crucified with Jesus, he becomes a great example of the life-altering power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. I tell you today, it's a wonderful thing to see God work in people's lives. There's some of us today, and I say us. There'd be a lot of people shocked today to see where we are because they remember where we used to be. And I tell you, I'm glad I'm not where I used to be. I'm not saying I'm always where I need to be. But by the grace of God today, I've learned the life-altering power of the Lord Jesus Christ in a person that is truly born again by the Spirit of God, that seeks to walk in the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit in everything that we do. We're saved by the grace of God. The Holy Spirit gives us at least three important gifts, and there's many more. The first thing He does, He gives us a new birth. I love telling folks at YDC, I said, now, I got this little booklet here, and I want you, when we get through, we're going to write down your name and your date, and this is the day that you were born. They look at you kind of funny, and I say, well, what I mean is born again. It's the day you trust Christ, and we find God gives you a new birth. Aren't you glad when we got saved? Listen, it was a clean slate. We were starting over. We was beginning to live a new life where the old man had been crucified. And he could not control our lives. Then we were given a new heart. Listen to Ezekiel 36:26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. You know, when we get saved, the new heart gives us a new way of thinking. I think of the verse Romans 12:1-2. I quote it all the time. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Years ago, we had a lady in our church. She was a dear lady. And by the way, she got saved, and I tell you, there was quite a change come over her life. I mean, she started coming to church. She had never gone to church, and she loved the Lord. She was in one of our cantatas. We used her, but she had a bad heart, and she had a heart transplant. And after she had her heart transplant, she found this verse, and she liked to claim that verse. She said, I got a new heart. She did get a new heart, and we rejoiced that she could use that verse for that, but that wasn't the verse. It wasn't talking about a new physical heart. It was talking about a heart that God gives us with a new spirit, a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new way of going, a new people to be with, a new opportunity to serve Christ. So we're given a new birth and we're given a new heart. But I tell you the greatest thing, we're given a new purpose in life. I talked to somebody, and I may have mentioned this recently, I talked to somebody because it disturbs me for people to say this. But I talked to somebody the other day and they said, I have no reason for living. And I began to remind them of a few reasons why they should have for living. But that's a sad, sad state when a person, especially somebody that professes to know the Lord Jesus Christ, says they have nothing to live for. I think I read in the paper this week where some woman killed her children or maybe the husband. I don't know. You read it all the time. You don't have to wait the next. There'll be another one for too long. People neglect their children and kill them. I mean, how could that be? But I tell you, when the Lord saved me, listen to what He said. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I tell you, we have a new way of living. I tell you, I'm not the man I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, I don't go here anymore. I don't hang around with the people I used to hang around with anymore. God changed my life. He gave me a new desire and a new purpose. And I'm not standing here today telling you I'm perfect by any means, but I know what I'm reading and I know what I'm understanding. The Bible said when Jesus died on the cross, my old man was crucified. And yet, if I'm going to stay away from that old fleshly desires that I have in my life, I must walk in the Spirit and obey Him because He's given me a new purpose in life. He's the reason I'm living. I tell you today, love my family, love my church, just love folks. Thank God for you. I tell you, I'd do anything I could to help anybody. I want you to know I love you with everything. I just thank God for allowing me to be in the ministry. But I tell you, most of all, my purpose is to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind. Then I want to just close with the last statement. Consider an expectation. Look at the latter part of verse 6 now. He said that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. To be dead to something means to be freed from it. Death puts an end to everything, right? That's what we experience and we know. All past relationships are severed. All past longings are gone. To be dead is to be delivered from everything that is related to this world. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man loveth the Father, if any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I didn't say that. God said that. And the Bible said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. You know why? Because the old man has been put to death. And we're to live in the new man. The Christian who is dead to sin and alive to Jesus can expect certain results in his life. I tell you, God's been good to me. There's been a few little trials and bumps down the road, but I tell you, God's been good to me. Crucifixion was the perfect execution. Everyone that was ever crucified died without exception. So when the old man was crucified with Christ, it died. Now, it's dead, and it's forever dead, and we're free from it having power over us in our life. But again, look what he said in Romans 6, verse 11 through 14. You're right there. You might as well follow along. He said, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of the righteousness unto God. Here's verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. I didn't say that. God said it. And friend, I believe it with all my heart today. The old nature sometimes don't feel dead, does it? This does not change the fact the flesh is dead. And if you're saved, it no longer possesses the power to enslave us to its desires. In Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. This means the flesh was struck a mortal blow at Calvary. I tell you, it means that it cannot control you unless you allow it to control you. You've been set free from sin, over the power of sin. Somebody said, well, why didn't God, if he killed the old man, why didn't he just make it so we just wouldn't ever have a desire for that anymore? We still have the old flesh. And that's why it's so important that we don't live unto the old man, but we live unto Christ, who crucified the old man on the cross. I read this, and you might, if you got a weak stomach, well, I think you can handle it. But the Romans had a cruel form of punishment they reserved for convicted murderers back in the day. They would take the murderer out in the desert. They would stake him down to the ground, and they would take the corpse of the person that he had killed, and they would lay it on top of him, face to face, hand to hand, feet to feet. The condemned man would lie there face to face with the corpse of the man he had murdered. And he would lie there while the corruption that drained from the corpse took his own life. And just as the corruption from the corpse oozed down from the murderer until he died, our old nature just keeps eating away at us, just bringing up death, destruction, and corruption. The old human nature is fit for nothing but the fires of hell. It does not deserve to live. We should no more carry it around our old nature than we would a corpse. I was doing a little looking at illustration stuff, and I read about some guys in Marion, North Carolina years ago. Their buddy died. And this is kind of typical of people that are lost. And their buddy died, so they thought that they would have one more good round before they buried him, I guess. And I guess this all happened tonight. And they put him in the convertible car, and they took him through town, and they poured liquor and alcohol down his throat. And I tell you, they did everything they could to try to make him live. But friend, he was dead, and he refused to live again. And just as stupid as it is for those guys to put that dead man in the car and ride him around, it's the same thing when we let the old man begin to ride around with us again. Try to make him be a part of what he used to be. Dead is dead. The old man is dead along with his lust. We should not indulge him any longer. To do so is just as foolish as partying with a dead corpse. The Lord Jesus expects people to live their lives as those that are crucified to sin and alive unto him. Our appetites, our actions, our attitudes should reflect our relationship with Jesus Christ. When we do, we reflect the fact of our crucifixion. When we don't, we put to lie our profession that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that we're to be an example. And I tell you today, I just want you to know, I'm thankful today for my salvation. But I tell you today, according to my Bible, and I know people say, well, you know, preacher, if you go too far saying you've got to live for God and your life's got to reflect Christ all the time, then you're putting works into the matter. I tell you, I believe in eternal security. And I believe man can't lose his salvation. But I believe what we need to be sure is that we've got our salvation and know that Jesus Christ has saved us. We find in John 3, 4 through 10, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brothers. Our bodies are neutral. They're energized by what we yield to. And sometimes when we yield to the flesh, we dishonor the Lord Jesus Christ. We do things that we should not do. But yet when we yield to Christ, since we're dead in Christ and risen again with him, let us walk in Jesus. Let us live our lives as we become like him. He said in Colossians 3, 1 through 3, if ye be risen with Christ and seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, he said, set your affections on things above, not on things of earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I wonder this morning, and I hope that wasn't too confusing, but I hope this morning, are you living like a crucified person? Paul said this is why he could say it. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. This is also what Paul said in Philippians 1:21, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. To Paul, there was nothing any more important to knowing Jesus than living a resurrected life as a born-again saint of God whose life the old man had been crucified. And I'm going to tell you the same is true for every single one of us today. The old man is dead. But thank God today, the Spirit of God dwells in those who are saved by grace, and we need not yield our members to the flesh and the desires of the flesh. Our Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege we have to come together. And Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, I hope today that we've understood it as it's given to us. Lord, I realize today we get saved, but that old sin nature, man, it's still after us. It's nipping at our heels. It's chasing us every day that we live. It's tempting us. The devil's out to destroy us. Lord, help us to live with the desire to serve you, to love you, to set an example before you so that Christ may be seen in our lives. Just bless now this invitation, I pray. I ask that you'd speak to hearts. Just have your will and way, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.